Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
As we've walked through this week, we've all faced moments of feeling a bit unsettled. Anybody else felt some of the consternation, felt the, God, what happened? You said, but here's what I'm seeing. I mean, if we're real, we got to be honest. We can't deal with things if we're not honest. So don't put on your religious hat and go, no, I didn't feel that way. I know us. You know, we did. It's like, wait a minute. We went to bed Tuesday night and woke up Wednesday morning and went, whoa, what just happened here? And every day it's been, what's happening? It's been crazy. And what we've had to do is keep ourselves rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Our eyes fixed upon Jesus and remembering that His Word says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in His prophets and you shall prosper. That's 2 Chronicles 20:20. And there's a whole lot now. Why I'm going down this path right now is because there's a lot of people right now throwing mud at the prophets. That is a dangerous place to be. Because the outcome is not determined by what God said, but how we legislate what God said in the earth. How many of you have prophetic words over your life that have not come to pass? That you know these are real. Now, there's a number of reasons why that can be. One, it could be a timing issue. Two, it could be a preparation issue. It could be an obedience issue, right? Or it could be, have you warred with that word? Or did you go, well, God said it, it's got to happen. I mean, I've been in this thing for 35 years. And I have heard people over and over again, well, God said I was going to go to the nations. What are you doing? What are you doing to prepare yourself? How are you warring that word? How are you positioning yourself by faith? Where are you submitting yourself to under God to be trained, prepared, equipped, and sent? And oh, by the way, if you're going to the nations, do you have your passport? You're not going to nations if you don't have a passport. I mean, that's just a practical thing. But there is this aspect of warring with your prophetic words. Well, if that is true for us naturally, for our own individual lives, for our families, how much more so for a nation? Things don't just happen. Let me go through some scripture and I'll just kind of unpack this a little bit. We're shifting right now from a traditional church order to God's intended kingdom order for the ecclesia. See, we've been operating in a less than mentality. We've been operating in a we're worms mentality. I'm talking church at large. We've been operating as we're just passing through when Jesus said, occupy till I come. See, because we've had this mentality of we're just passing through, this place is not my home, where in a sense there's a truth to that, it's not the whole truth. And what does the enemy always do? He never comes with a blatant lie, he comes with a little bit off. And so we've been in this mentality as the traditional church of going, we're just passing through, this is not my home. And God said, I said, occupy till I come. To occupy means you put down stakes, you build your house, you occupy, you work to see the blessings of God abounding in everything you touch, which means your presence in your neighborhood should bring a blessing to your neighbors. Amen. Occupy. You should be pushing back darkness, not having darkness encroach on you. Darkness has encroached in this nation because we've sat down and said, we're just passing through. The religious church order wants everyone to feel good and be gathered into the sheepfold. If you can't tell, I don't really care if you feel good or not. I'm not going to pet your demons. I want you to grow up, wise up, and move up. I want you to shake out of the complacent status quo mediocrity that the church has tried to put on us for generations. Just shake it off. Say, I'm getting rid of the status quo mediocrity. I am not living in less than what God said. See, we've been operating in the accumulation of believers rather than the equipping and aligning of disciples, the sons and daughters of the Most High God. See, it would be easy to take a gift, and we see this all over traditional church. Take a gift, someone who can articulate and preach up a storm, and accumulate thousands and make no difference in a culture. I may not be the best communicator, but I'll tell you what, I have a heart to see you raised up as disciples. And that's not going to draw a crowd, and you know what? I don't care. Now, if the crowds come, I'm going to do the same thing. Because it is about training and equipping the saints of God for the work of ministry. See, Ann's known me since 1993, I believe. Okay? And she knows this is basically how I've been the entire time. When I was teaching a little women's Bible study, I looked at them one Wednesday night and I said, if you're still sitting here not doing anything with what I've told you and taught you after a year or two, you're in disobedience to God. I don't know if you were in the class the day I said that, but God keeps reminding me of that. See, it's one thing to be taught. It's a whole nother thing for you to take what you're taught and allow it to activate you to be a voice and a light where you live, work, and play. It's not about us doing it all in here. I'm in here to stir up your faith, train, equip, and say go. Get it done. Be a light. Be a voice. Let your roar come out. See, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 says, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles and some with grace to be prophets and some with grace to be evangelists and some with grace to be pastors and some with grace to be teachers, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers. Say, all the holy believers. To do their works of ministry. To do their works. Say, to do my works. What God assigned me. Not what he assigned somebody else, but what he assigned you. You have a scroll. That's what Claire was prophesying. It's what Sandra spoke into. There are scrolls that God has written into your life before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. And it is time for us to reach in by intercession and by prayer and pull it out. And begin to stand on it and war with it. Share it with your leaders. What is it God's saying to you? Let us help you be nurtured, trained, and equipped to be who God called you to be. Some of us had to do it our own for a lot of years. It's not easy. We want to help you. That's what we're here for. See, we've got to have the body of Christ. It goes on verse 16. For his body, that's us, Jesus' body on the earth, right? It's us, has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect or mature in love. See, it takes all of us. For too many years, traditional churchism had whoever was up here doing all the work. If you've known pastors, they've typically been worn out, frazzled. And we heard a statistic in a conference I went to about 5 or 6 years ago from an insurance company that insured the key pastors in large megachurches. Now, obviously, he didn't have all of the mega churches in the country, but he said this: of all of the mega churches that we insure, 95% of them are on antidepressants. That's staggering. You know why? Because a weight is being put on them as a single person to do what they were never called to do. See, we've got to shift out of this mentality. Now, we're not there. I'm speaking this into the atmosphere because we don't operate this way. We have people here who do the work of ministry in many ways, and there are many others that are being raised up and are going to begin stepping in greater and greater measure. And it has to be that way. See, kingdom order operates under the domain of the king who has all authority, rule, and dominion over the earth. See, we're not under a king who doesn't have all authority. He has all authority. Psalm 24:1 in the Passion Translation says, God claims the world as his. Everything and everyone belongs to him. It doesn't matter if they say they don't belong to him. He's still king over them, whether they like it or not. They may be rebellious. They may not adhere, which means then they suffer the consequences of not hearing. Because if you don't listen to what God says and don't do what God says, the consequences are you don't walk in the blessings. There's consequences for not obeying. It's one of the problems in families right now is parents are not parenting. Therefore, children are not obeying. Therefore, they're going into rebellion. They're getting into trouble. And then people are wondering, why have we got all these rebellious kids out here? Well, go back to mom and dad. Now, sometimes kids are just rebellious. And they just do what they want to do. And it doesn't matter how much. Just like in the kingdom of God, there are some people who just do what they want to do. And it doesn't matter. One time when I was fretting over a rebellious child, the Lord said to me, I was like, am I not loving right? Am I not parenting right? Am I what? You know, I was in the mully grubs over it. Okay, anybody know what the mully grubs are? And I can remember the chair as I was sitting there before the Lord, and I said, I don't get it. I mean, we've poured out our lives. And the Lord just asked me a question. He said, how do I love? What kind of father am I? What kind of parent am I? I said, you're perfect. Your love is perfect. It's without any shadow of turning. Your disciplines are good. They're perfect. They're true. And then he said this, and how many rebellious children do I have? It liberated me. In that moment, I got delivered. So you can't always blame it on the parents. But I'm saying this way because right now I see such a lack of parenting in the home and in the church. I'm seeing a lack of mothers and fathers that are willing to speak and say, no, we're not doing it that way. Not here, not now. Of letting people do whatever they want to do. Prophesy whatever they want to prophesy. I can tell you, it ain't happening. Because we have to be raised up under the domain of the King and under the leadership of Holy Spirit through the fivefold that He has given according to Ephesians 4 so that we can be trained, equipped, and matured to function at the highest possible level. See, we're functioning well, but I want us to go up a notch. See, if we're going to confront the darknesses out here, we've got to go up into another level of maturity. We have to learn how to hear more clearly, come together in the unity of the Spirit, and declare as one what God is saying. Part of the reason the state of Georgia is in the balance right now is because the body of Christ is not sounding as a clear voice. We've got the voice over here saying, just don't vote because we don't like either one. I'm telling you, that's out of the pit of hell. I'll just say it. People don't like it. I don't care. I may get all kinds of hate mail today, but it's all right. But we can't go there. We've got major national pastors saying, don't vote for Trump because he's proud and he's arrogant. Your very article was proud and arrogant, oh, by the way. What we have to look at platform. We have to look at what they've accomplished. We have to look at what, more importantly, what has God said? And I don't care if it's about the presidential election or our state senator elections. We better be listening to heaven. We better be listening to heaven. Because right now, Georgia, as a governmental gate state, is in the balance. Will we align with the kingdom of God or will we align with the kingdom of Satan? It's where we are. And as a governmental gate state, which is our prophetic destiny, which one we align with will affect the entire nation. And not only our nation, but nations of the world. So if I'm passionate about this, I've been carrying that governmental gate state in my spirit for 18 years. Praying it almost daily. And I don't want to see the authority that is on this state as a governmental gate to align with the gate of hell. It must align with the kingdom of God. I'm getting all off my notes, but it's okay. See, God has from the beginning had a purpose for mankind on the earth. We were not an afterthought. We were not, oh, I think it'd be great to have people running around and having families and just, you know, occupying. That wasn't his idea. I mean, it wasn't just for us to come have fun. Do you understand that? We were not an afterthought. We are not like the animals. When he created the animals, he spoke and they were created, right? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals that roam on the earth, he just spoke and they were. With us, he took of the dirt of the earth, and when he breathed his very life into us, we became living souls. See, we have a living soul that is like God. He said, I'm going to create mankind in my image, in the likeness of who I am. That means his character, his nature, and his authority. And I'm going to place them in the earth, and I'm going to say, now go do what I do. Hello? He says, I want you to be my representation out of heaven, my breath in you, to rule and reign on the earth. We're not the tail. We are not relegated into an outhouse. We are God's kingdom government on the earth. Listen to Genesis 1, 26 through 28 out of the message. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so that they can, get this phrase, be responsible. All authorities connected to responsibility. So they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. He blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea, birds in the air, and for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Take charge. Verse 28 out of the Amplified reads, and God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over, dominate, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. See, God placed man on the earth to rule. to be the expression of his kingdom government into the earth realm. He said, you're going to be my voice. That's why he and Adam walked through the garden in the cool of the day. In other words, Adam communed with God Almighty breath to breath. He moved. So that what Adam said out of his communion with the Lord, he spoke it and it was. How else do you think he named all the animals? He was walking in the cool of the day and God says, now you go name them. God didn't name them. He said, Adam, you go name them. Do you see the authority? And those names have stuck. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about that? That the names of the rhinoceros stuck. The ostrich stuck. This is little. My grandson didn't like the ostrich, I'll just say. And but it stuck because God said, Adam, you do it. He did it. It stuck. I think if we ever get this, it's a game changer. But see, what's happened in churchism is we've said, well, what God has decided God will do. Psalm 115:16, the Passion Translation. The heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. Points back to Genesis 1, doesn't it? Because you know what Adam lost at the fall? Jesus regained for us. We go back to Genesis 1. We don't go to Genesis 3. I want everybody to hear me say that again. The curse of Genesis 3, we don't live under. Women, hear me. It's a pet peeve of mine. Seriously. We go back to Genesis 1. We don't go to Genesis 3. Jesus restored it all for all of us. Listen to Psalm 115, 12 through 16 out of the Message. Oh God, remember us and bless us. Bless the families of Israel and Aaron. And let God bless all who fear God. Bless the small, bless the great. Oh, let God enlarge your families, giving growth to you, growth to your children. May you be blessed by God. By God who made heaven and earth. The heaven of heavens is for God. But he put us in charge of the earth. See, when I hear people relegating the chaos to God, it makes me really angry. Because God is not the author of chaos. The earth was void and in chaos, and he spoke and brought order. Right? What he is looking to do right now is through his ecclesia to speak and bring order out of chaos. We cannot allow the turmoil to define our reality. We must allow the Spirit of God and what God's Word says and what his Spirit has said to define our reality. We have to operate out of a higher reality than what we see. Because if you go with what you see, you're going to get tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine. You're going to be like prophets who prophesied before the election that President Trump would win, and by yesterday were repenting. Either you heard God or you didn't. You don't, when things get tough. This is a principle for you in your individual life, over your families, and over this nation. When things in your life don't look like the word of the Lord, don't forsake the word of the Lord. God's given me some prophetic words 20, 25, 30 something years ago that to this day I still stand on it and say, God said. I don't care what this turmoil over here says, because God said. And as long as when I begin to waver on what God said, I get into this funk and I can't hear God anymore. Hello? Because if you forsake the last thing God said to you that you know is God, and you begin to doubt and move in fear, then your ears are going to get shut up because you're not going to be able to hear because you're not adhering to the last thing he said to you. We have to learn to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the grace of God. When God speaks to you, faith comes, then you war through so that you come to faith and you become one with that word. The Lord said to me years ago, out of Isaiah 54:13, all of your sons shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. I see a measure of that. I know I'm not seeing the fullness of it yet. But do you know what? What I see doesn't change what I know, because I have come to faith. It's not just faith came to me. I have come to faith. And it doesn't matter what rages. I know what God said. I know what God said over this nation, that we are not going into socialism. I know God said that we are going to see a move of His Holy Spirit in this nation. We are going to see an overturning of Roe versus Wade. We are seeing a restoration of righteousness among our peoples. We are going to see a prosperity so that the gospel of the kingdom will go to the nations. We're getting shifted. Now we're being sifted in the midst of the shifting. Just expect it, it's coming. When Jesus stood and Peter says, Jesus looks at Peter and says, who do you say that I am? You remember this in Matthew 16? And the passage says, after Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus looks at him and he says, I give you the name Peter, a stone. And this truth of who I am, listen, this truth of who I am, of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church, my legislative assembly. And the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. In the Message Bible, it says, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of the books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God Himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. Aren't we glad He's let us in on the secret? And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. And I want you to hear this, not just historically that he's saying it to Peter. I want you to hear this tonight. Jesus is saying to us, I want you to know who you really are. This is who you really are. You are a rock. We're living stones, right? This is the rock on which I will put together my church. What is that rock? The revelation that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. Now, that ought to give us some confidence. I see, we've applied that in all kinds of ways through churchy stuff. But we've not fully come into what Jesus was saying. He really wants us operating as His legislative assembly on the earth, hearing from heaven, declaring and decreeing what heaven is saying and enforcing it by the power of our prayers. Jesus said that if two or three agree on anything, he's there in our midst, right? And if we agree as in touching anything in prayer, what does he say? It shall be accomplished. See, this is us getting connected to heaven. Years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, anytime you're going as two or three to touch anything and as agreeing, make sure I'm one of the two or three. Because I could touch and agree with you, and if he's not in the midst of it, it's just, quite honestly, can be witchcraft prayers to try to get what you want or what I want. No, we got to have God in the midst of it. So what it's doing is it's connecting his body to the head. And when we have the agreement of the head that is in heaven with the body that's in earth, and we declare and decree in agreement with him, things shift. But we have to do it with faith. If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So we have to come to faith. So I encourage you this week, rehearse the prophetic words of our nation. Say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a real prayer. He will answer that prayer. Fill up in me everything that is lacking so that I might move in faith. Because I want to move in faith that delights your heart. Because when we delight his heart, he then releases angel armies to move in response to our declarations and decrees. Because the angels move what? At the word of the Lord. How is the word of the Lord getting released in the earth? It's not through a shout out of heaven. It's through a shout and a roar through us. Find what God is saying in his word and through the prophets. Believe God, believe his prophets. Be established, prosper. See, God's intention and purpose for the ecclesia out of Matthew 16 is that the key of David be operational among us. From Isaiah 22:22. Remember the story of Shebna? Shebna, the Lord said to me earlier today, Shebna represents the old system, the old church system. I'd not seen it this way before. But Shebna was one, it said, that he built himself a sepulcher, built himself something so they would remember his name from generation to generation. He did not rule with a father's heart. He ruled out of a place of his own liking and what he wanted. So Shebna represents a system that is self-seeking, hirelings in it for their good. But God says it's coming down. And he is releasing the Eliakims. Eliakim is a manifestation of the Father heart of God being established on the earth in the midst of his ecclesia. Leaders who carry the Father heart of God. Fathers and mothers who honor sons and daughters. Who love those that God sends. And the scripture says that God will take the Eliakim, establish him as a tent peg in a secure place, and that tent peg turns into a throne, which is a place of rulership. I believe right now where we are is that the Shebna is moving out, the Eliakim spirit of the Lord is moving into his church, and we're being firmly established as a tent peg in a secure place. And out of that place, the rule and reign of God is going to come. We're going to have the authority of the king that he intended from the beginning to declare what he declares, to war, and having done all, to war some more if we have to. See, we can't be wimps anymore. See, the church for too long has been soft, mealy-mouthed, and let's just get along with everybody. We've petted demons. We've welcomed them, not on this worship team, but in some places on the worship team. We've had them as pastors, as the sons of Eli in this state. I'm going to do some teaching on that in the next several weeks. But I'm telling you, the sons of Eli have got to come down. And we've got to have some Samuels and some Davids, some Elijahs, some Elishas, some Jehus, and some Joashes that take out Athaliah. We got to have some men and women of bold, courageous faith that are not worried about being known. Well, they are tolerant. I'm not. I'm just not. Now, if you're a new believer, I will walk with you and love you through to faith. But if you've been in the faith for a number of years and you want to go acting like you're a baby and sucking your thumb and needing your diaper changed, you're going to have to do something else. Because I'm not into burping babies. Sorry. Babies are fine, but grown-ups that are acting like babies, not so much. There's a time and a place. And we have got to be raised up. Let me close with this. 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. This was Paul writing to Timothy. I kind of started with this, but I want to close and end reading this and then a couple of comments. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may fight the good fight in contending with false teachers, keeping your faith, leaning completely on God with absolute trust and confidence in His guidance, and having a good conscience. For some people have rejected their moral compass and have made a shipwreck of their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be disciplined and taught not to blaspheme. See, God's given us some prophecies. And we have got to learn to war with those prophecies. We've got to allow those words to inspire and build up our faith. We've got to move into a place where what God has said is stronger than what our flesh says, what other people say, what the false prophets of Baal in the mass media are saying, and what the social media prophets are saying. Come on. We got a lot of social media prophets out there that just need to be shut up in the name of Jesus. Let them get saved. Let them get delivered. And let their true gifting come forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the problem with deception is you don't know when you're deceived. That's why we have to have people in our lives that'll speak to us and help us. Hebrews 10:35 and 37. And I'm just going to decree this over you tonight. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will. And then you will receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. Be strengthened. Be encouraged. Be built up in your most holy faith. I admonish you on behalf of our nation, our president, and God's purposes, rise up bold. Take communion daily. When you find yourself wavering because of everything you're hearing, reach out to somebody. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Reach out to somebody who's walking in faith. Don't allow the barrage of the social media, mass media, prophets of Baal to take you out. Just don't do it. Turn it off. Limit it. Stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask and I decree over these, your people, that bold, courageous faith rises in us. Lord, that anything that would resist what you are doing, Lord, we invite you to shine the light of revelation on it. That we would have the gift of repentance to quickly repent of any and everything that would stand against you. Father, I ask that you would infuse us with a fresh baptism of boldness. Lord, I'm reminded of Acts after they had been, Paul and Peter and them had been thrown into jail, but the church was in the room praying for bold faith, that they would stand in the midst of their opposition. So, Lord, I'm asking that for us. I'm asking that for the ecclesia across this state and across this region and across this nation, that we would not be taken off course, but we would stand with our eyes fixed on you, with our faith firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God and what you have spoken. You have spoken. And we say, let your word be firmly established and manifested on earth, even as it is in heaven. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come together in the agreement of the ecclesia with the key of David, and we declare and decree that every external voice coming into the state of Georgia to try to shift us into a place of unrighteousness, even that one that is coming out of New York into the city of Atlanta to help facilitate the election of Democratic senators, we say we forbid it now in Jesus' name. We say you are not welcome here, your influence is not welcome here, and you will have no place, and it will be as though you have moved into a place that you will be in constant turmoil and disheveled and unable to prosper. And Father, we say, let your true ecclesia arise. Let the true apostles and prophets come together to bring forth wisdom and revelation in this hour. That connected to Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, shall establish a firm foundation for your kingdom in the state of Georgia. I say in the name of Jesus that every false thing, every fragmented foundation, everything that has been divisive and has sought to bring the kingdom of God to nothing in this state is being exposed, extracted, and eliminated in Jesus' name. Lord, let truth arise. At the release of your light, your grace, your glory, and the anointing of true authority that is wed with taking responsibility for that which you have assigned, be seen, established, and working without wavering. And Lord, set captives free. Captives that have been ensnared in the old church system. That brings into the sheep pen rather than into the kingdom order of ecclesia that trains, equips, empowers, mobilizes, and sends the saints to do the work of ministry, fully empowered by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the purposes of God. Activate us all, God, for your glory, for your honor, Let it be done in such a way that it will be undeniable that you and you alone have done this thing through your faithful remnant. And let the third great awakening explode with signs, wonders, and miracles, and a mighty harvest, young and old, from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. Let it be a sign and a wonder to all who look on, that your name will be praised and your kingdom advanced, in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whew. Wow. I bless you all. We will be back here Tuesday night to pray, to bring what God's saying and stand on it. We cannot back up. We cannot back up. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to praying in the Spirit. When you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. It's victorious. And gets you out of the melee of the confusion. So I bless you all. I love you. And it feels good to be back. Woohoo! Love y'all. Night.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.